Good morning and welcome to Leaders Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 44, the second full paragraph. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the 12 Steps, Mana K. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Leslie M. and Kara L. Share ID numbers for the last two meetings, yesterday, Tuesday, November 22nd, p.m. Eastern, the share ID is 19,663 or 19663. And for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting East Coast time, the reference number is 19,669 or 19669. After we share today, Betsy H. will greet our newcomers and Shelley E. will give us announcements. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lisa N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service today. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa N. And Monica K., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. My name is Monica K. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in the group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants, then do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supportive, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create boards, service boards, or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and when you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 44, paragraph 2, and I will ask Leslie M. to get us started. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And, you know, this paragraph, you know, really describes me. I'm still without knowledge, so I guess I will always be an agnostic. That's what that word means to me, without knowledge. And I was without knowledge of a power greater than myself that was personal to me, that cared about me. The one thing that I noticed even earlier as I listened to the first meeting is that here it describes him as, especially if he's an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. And that's how I describe myself. I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. You know, there is no other way for me. I was out of answers. But I also have to say that, you know, I've been around in OA, this year it's 32 years. But for 28 of those years, I did it my way. You know, I took what I liked and I left the rest, you know. I often hear on this line that, you know, a broken brain can't fix a broken brain. So how I thought my broken brain was going to be able to take what she liked and leave the rest, how I was supposed to decide those things, I really don't have any idea. But I continued to do that until, you know, in February of 2018, when I first got recovered, I finally knew that I was out of ideas. But it says, you know, so for 28 years, I was doomed to an alcoholic death. Or, you know, I had the option of living on a spiritual basis, but I never selected that option. I always chose to try to figure out something else that I could do, some other diet, some other, you know, craziness in my head. Oh, yeah, I got this now. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've said that. I've really tried to stop saying that because I know now I have finally learned that, you know, I am not in charge of anything. You know, that I simply have to accept this power greater than myself, because without it, I am a compulsive overeater. I'm still a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, but without it, I'm in the food, you know. And this last mostly 5 years, although I did have a brief relapse last year on November 30th. But now I've been back, and it's almost a year, you know, that I've been recovered and entirely abstinent again. So I'm very grateful for that. But I have to live every day on this spiritual basis. If I don't do that, then, I'm right back where I started, and that's in this disease. You know, I know the disease gets stronger every day. The recovery also increases every day, but there's work that needs to be done every day. I can't just sit back and say, okay, I've done the work. I'm good. That doesn't work either. So, you know, when I make this, you know, this is making a decision, I have to take action after that. I can't just sit back and say, okay, I'm gonna live on a spiritual basis. I have to do something different. And that's what this spiritual awakening has given me, is a change in personality, a change in attitude. And that's all I've got. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Leslie M., for getting us started this morning. And I am now going to take a list of names. Please remember that if you have shared in the last 2 days, on Monday or Tuesday on this meeting, we ask that you allow others to share first. Who would like to share this morning?
Jen B.
Okay, I heard Kara L., and was that Jen B.?
Jen Z., yeah.
Jen C. Okay, thank you.
Stephen G.
Danielle W.
Stephen G. Danielle W.
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Did I miss anyone else in that group? Okay, I have Kara L., Jen Z., Stephen G., Danielle W., and Veronica B. Anyone else? Okay, Kara, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy and my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And thank you for everybody who's doing service in the meeting today. I have this vision of one of my very first sponsors, and we were reading in the big book, and she said, you know, in this line, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And she said to me something that's always stuck, which was, only an alcoholic or a hopeless compulsive overeater, who I do identify with as being a hopeless compulsive, think that that's a choice. You know, like death or recovery, you know, and, you know, me being a compulsive overeater, you know, I spent my life actually going, maybe I'll choose the, you know, I won't choose the spiritual recovery, until it got to be too painful. Right. And then there wasn't a choice for me. The endless series of me trying to fix everything and do everything myself, and being the good student, I did everything that was asked of me. And the only thing that I didn't do is make that choice, that third step decision, and really step from bridge to shore, right? To take that, you know, bridge of reason to the shore of faith, and just step over and say, I don't know how to do this. I've spent decades trying to do this, and I'm going to have to believe. And I'm going to have to say to a power greater than myself that I need help. And the moment I did that and I reworked these steps with that decision, this is the moment that I had a spiritual awakening, and the moment that I got the gifts in this program that I get today, which is better relationships, food neutrality, the ability to be of service. You know, all those promises started to come true when I took that step. And I didn't sit and contemplate the decision between death and a spiritual life. I just stepped forward into the spiritual life. And I'm ever so grateful for that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Jen Z, would you like to share now?
Yes, please. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. My name is Jen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia from East Los Angeles, California. And thank you, everybody, for being on the line today and for doing service, making this meeting possible. You know, I was never an atheist or an agnostic. I was raised with God in the church. And as a child, I was pretty religious. You know, I remember reading the Bible and stuff. And, you know, but when I got to be older and I started having problems with mental illness and drug abuse and alcoholism and food, I kind of turned away from that spiritual side of things and rejected that. And there were other issues involved, you know, in my decision to do that, but that I won't get into. But yeah, it was a real sore subject for me. And when I came to program and they started talking about, you know, it was a spiritual program, you know, at first I was really turned off. But then, you know, they said, oh, it's a concept of your own higher power. You know, it's your own concept. You can come up with your own concept. It doesn't have to be the God you were raised with. And I could handle that. That I could stomach. But to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis. And, you know, I was introduced to OA and the program when I was introduced to the other program very young. And then about a year later, I was introduced to OA. But I was really in my anorexia, my bulimia, and I was not ready for the program at all. And I think that to get to a point where you see that you're, you know, going down the road of the alcoholic death or the compulsive eater death, you know, or living on a spiritual basis, for me at least, I had to hit bottom, you know, and I had to get to a point of desperation where I was willing to do whatever it took. And, you know, sometimes with my compulsive food behaviors, I still struggle with that willingness, you know, but I've been told you just need to be willing to be willing, you know, and I mean, that might seem like semantics to break it down like that, but yeah, sometimes that's all I can do is just be willing to be willing and accept that there is, you know, a spiritual, living on a spiritual basis is my solution. Or it's death, you know, because I was dying, you know, for my disease, my compulsive eating. I was killing myself on the installment plan. So yeah, that's kind of what I got out of that paragraph. And I just wanted to share that. So thanks everybody for listening and I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen C. Stephen G., please share with us.
So, hi, good morning. This is Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. This line where it says, let's see here, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. And this book, when they're writing, they tend not to use absolute language because of their humility. But they spent the last several chapters telling us that alcoholism is a hopeless condition. And we have to come to that conclusion on our own. Describe the nature of the disease, allergy of the body, obsession of the mind, and it's permanent, it's progressive, and it's ultimately fatal. And in my case, the binge just became so emotionally and physically uncomfortable that the end for me would have been suicide. And the book is telling us that we need to come to this point where there are only two options. The option of accepting help on a spiritual basis or continuing on to a painful death. And the truth of it is that until we get to a point of hopelessness, until I got to a point of hopelessness, I wasn't willing to be entirely abstinent from substances and behavior that gave me a sense of ease and comfort. And I certainly wasn't willing to have a spiritual experience and do the things necessary to have a spiritual experience and to maintain a spiritual experience. And that seems to be what we hear over and over in this book, which is we see examples of people that came to complete hopelessness. And as somebody in the fellowship has said repeatedly, that we have to get to a point where there really is only one door open that's available to us, because I've tried every other door and now it's closed. Now I am completely backed into a corner, and when I'm backed into a corner, I will be willing to take direction. And the direction I took led me to a place I never would have thought I could get to, which was a place of neutrality and peace and serenity and a normal life that I've never had before. And so I'm very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen G. Danielle W., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm Danielle W. from Southern California. And, you know, this paragraph, there's so many things that come to mind when I read this paragraph. I'm just going to focus on one, though, and that's this, to me, is the generosity of this program. It's what makes it so unique. When I look at all of these amazing world religions that, in my mind, just offer people a path toward a relationship with a higher power or a God or whatever name people choose to use. We have so many paths toward God, but to me, this program, at least in my experience, is the only one that I've ever encountered where, even if you don't believe, even if you're agnostic or atheist, you're welcome. Nobody is saying to me, you have to believe this, or this is what God looks like, or this is what God's named. It's a big tent. It opens up to everybody. And when we're talking about life and death, which I believe this is, to be able to have such an open, welcoming program, it's awe-inspiring to me that it's a place where everybody is welcome and can find a way toward a relationship. And the other part that I think is so unique, in addition to the fact that all are welcome, is that it also requires some effort on our part. You know, I'm not being told what my higher power looks like or what my higher power is, but I have to find that. And in doing so, I think that has allowed me to have a much closer relationship. You know, when I have to put the effort in, when I have to think about and ponder and meditate and pray and continue to enhance that relationship, I'm all in. I'm the one that's doing some of the heavy lifting and the work, and it allows me to be, closer to that relationship. Is so special to me because it's something that I've had to participate in. I'm not just being told what to do or what to believe. I got to such a low point in my life. I really didn't want to live anymore. And in that surrender and in this program, I found a life I just didn't even think was possible. It's such a beautiful, beautiful program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. And Veronica B., please share with us.
Good morning. Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in California. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. So up until this paragraph, I've learned some facts about alcoholism. I've learned the difference between alcoholic and a non-alcoholic, and in my case, a compulsive eater, a non-compulsive overeater, and I am the compulsive eater of the hopeless variety. So this paragraph tells me I have two options if I am a hopeless compulsive overeater. I have two options. One is to die an alcoholic death, which is die in my disease of compulsive eating and bulimia. Or option two is I can choose a spiritual basis of living. And it says it's not always alternative is not always an easy alternative. Why isn't it always an easy alternative? Well, because someone like me, who is ego-driven, who wants to be in control, who wants to always know the results, who doesn't want to trust a God of my understanding, gets in the way. That's why it's not always easy, because I think that I know better. I think that I deserve this, or that I should get this. They shouldn't be doing that. And that kind of thinking will lead me to victim mode, to self-pity, and it'll lead me to the food and resentment and fear. And you know what? I don't always want to do the right thing. Because for me, living on a spiritual basis is like trusting God and doing what God would want me to be. But you know what? Sometimes my ego gets in the way, my pride gets in the way, and I don't want to do the right thing. Yeah, I said it. I am not proud of that. But, you know, it's still because I suffer from self-will and from what me wanting to run the show and me wanting to play God. And it's in those times when I'm in that, when I'm not spiritually fit, because that's what not being spiritually fit looks like, self-will, running the show, wanting to play God, is when I experience despair and suffering and depression and loneliness and separation. So it's telling me if I am to stay recovered, I need to stay connected to a God of my understanding, not anybody else's God, but a God of my understanding, and I need to be in the middle and doing the work and taking actions that make me feel good about myself. I have to take actions that make me feel good about myself. And that, what does that look like for someone like me who's selfish and self-centered and thinks about me all the time? I have to be helping others. I have to have this way of living that I'm more concerned about you than I am about me. I have to think more of what can I bring to the situation and not when am I taking. And I think that's my time. But everyone have a really great day. And I love this chapter. If you're feeling down, just read this chapter. It'll lift you right up. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Veronica B. Okay, so we are sharing, for those who came in late, on page 44 in the Big Book, on the second full paragraph, which begins, "To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic." Who else would like to share today?
Laura L.
Laura L. Anyone else?
Barbara W.
Barbara W.
The A.
Sean B.
Okay, I heard Sean B. And then there was somebody else before you. Who was that?
Lee H.
Marie H.
Lee.
Lee.
L-E-E.
Oh, Lee H. I'm sorry, Lee.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's okay.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Dion R.
Dion R. We probably have time for one or two more.
Debbie P. from Indiana.
Debbie P. Anyone else?
I can talk to. Oh, this is Jeff.
Jeff.
A. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
In California.
Okay, great. All right. Let's begin then with Laura L. Please share with us, Laura.
Good morning. This is Laura L. calling from Arkansas, gratefully recovered. Still recovering every day, though. It says to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And I am an alcoholic. I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. But when I had 3 years of consistent abstinence, and then during COVID, I lost my abstinence and I relapsed for 2 years. And if you had asked me in the first 3 years if I could ever see myself relapsing, or if I had relapsed, that it would be any, you know, amount of time like that, I would have said you were crazy. But I relapsed for 2 years, and, you know, I became faced with the fact that I was going to be doomed to death or to live on a spiritual basis. And for 2 years, I chose death. How insane is that? I can't believe that that was my reality, but it was my reality for 2 years. It's not always easy to turn to a spiritual program, even though I knew it was the solution. I'd lived in the solution for 3 years. Something happened to me during that time that suddenly made me be okay with being doomed to death instead of turning to what I knew was a solution in a spiritual program. And I, you know, I don't claim to know who my higher power is. I just know there is one. I'll probably be asking that question for the rest of my life, but I do know that because of this spiritual program, I now have over 8 months of consistent food abstinence, and I'm working on emotional sobriety on a daily basis, and I would not have that if it wasn't for this program, who or whatever my higher power is, and this fellowship. So thank you all who are providing service on the line this morning, and thank you to everybody who's on the line just sharing. Welcome, newcomers. You're the most important person in the room. You give us perspective. You give me perspective. Everyone on here, your stories help me every single morning. So thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Laura L. Barbara W., please share with us. Barbara, press star one to unmute.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, Barbara W. from Seattle, Washington. Thank you all for your service and for everyone who shared. Wow. I don't often share, but this really struck me as my choice. And I look back, I've been in this program for 45 years, and my current abstinence is, well, I'd say about 3 weeks. And during the pandemic, I had a abstinence of 2 years and 3 months, and then something, I don't know what, flipped. And I was back in my disease for 2 months. And I was choosing the wrong road after all the years and the meetings and the friends and the fellowship. I somehow chose, without realizing it, I was choosing a pathway to death. I felt very isolated, very alone. I've been on my own for over 30 years. And it just didn't make sense. And that's, my disease has no rational thinking. And my brain just went from feeling secure and uplifted by the pathway of spiritual living and spiritual basis and trusting in God and in that path. And and I'm so grateful that I was able to, about the beginning of October, I was able to finally turn to God, turn to that spiritual path instead of a death by overeating. And I learned, I'm almost 77 years old, and I learned that my disease had gotten much worse. I mean, my finances were not in the best of shape, and there I was spending money I needed to save on sugar and white flour, and that pathway I knew was going to lead to death at my age. Oh, and it finally, at the beginning of November, I got a spiritual basis became the only pathway, my only choice. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. Sean B., please share with us. press star one. Sean?
Hi, this is, okay. Yeah, this is Dawn B.
Oh, Dawn, I'm sorry, Dawn. Go ahead.
No worries.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Yeah, I had to get to that point. I spent almost 35 years in the rooms, just unable to get abstinent more than 3 days here, 7 days there. So I have almost 35 years of being in the program and just having failure in the rooms. And so certainly if you're out there listening to this, do not leave until your miracle happens, because it absolutely will. I had to get to that point, you know, and people ask me, well, what happened? You know, after 35 years of failure, not being able to be abstinent, what happened? You know, what was the turning point there that made it the difference? And I just absolutely, to the core of my being, realized that I am going to die in this disease. And there is nothing ahead for me to look forward to, but a lot more pain and a tremendous amount of suffering and an early death. This is a fatal disease. It is permanent. It is progressive. It is fatal. And I just came face to face with that and realized that's all I have to look forward to. If I am the real deal, and I absolutely am, I am an addict 100%. And I have nothing to look forward to but an early death and a lot of suffering, or I need to clearly identify my alcoholic foods and behaviors and put them down 100% and grab hold of this program with all the enthusiasm that a drowning person grabs hold of a life preserver and work this like my life depends on it, because it absolutely does. And that's what I did, out of desperation, because I knew I was dying. I was going to die. And it just came coming to that realization that I am doomed to an alcoholic death, or I can live on a spiritual basis. And that's what this program offers. And just as a previous speaker said, you know, I was not willing to put down all those security blankets of my alcoholic foods, all those things that I was seeking out for ease and comfort. I was not willing to put those down unless I faced the reality of death squarely, straight on, right there in my face. I could barely walk up a flight of stairs. My heart was doing all kinds of strange things. And now I've been abstaining happily for 10 years. I'm down over 120 pounds. I don't even know how much, because I stopped weighing myself, but I'm at a normal BMI. I don't need to lose any more weight. And it is a life beyond my wildest dreams. Not because my circumstances have changed, but because my attitude about my circumstances has been transformed through the working of the steps. And it's absolutely a beautiful, beautiful life. Lived on a spiritual basis, surrendering on a daily basis, practicing making God's will my only goal. And I just surrender to my higher power's will. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Dawn B. Lee H., please share with us.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. This is Lee H. I'm from Tennessee, but I'm presently in California, and I am enjoying the shares and all of the folks from California and the West Coast. Yeah, I had to speak up because this paragraph is just chock full of so many truths for me today. And the greatest gift I've been given is just to be aware that I have suffered from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that was in the previous paragraph. But I realized that I am doomed. And it's not only the physical death of a compulsive overeater, but it's the mental and the emotional and the spiritual death that I'm doomed to if I don't replace it with a spiritual life. And that is what I have been given, and I'm not anywhere close to arriving. Like, I haven't arrived, but I'm just learning that abstinence alone is not the solution, that it has to be a spiritual life, a renewed mind. It's my alcoholic, foodaholic, thinkaholic mind. It has to be renewed, and I'm doing another fourth step and digging deeper just to see what's deep, deep down in there that needs to be uprooted, and it will just continue to help me to get clearer and clearer with my higher power who loves me. And by no means am I ever going to be perfect, because, you know, that's not what a human being is. But I'm forgiven and I'm blessed. And I am too. I am, just like the previous speaker said, living a life beyond my wildest imagination. But it is contingent on this spiritual experience every day with my higher power. So I just want to thank you for your service, Kathy, and just so glad to be here, and I will pass.
Thanks so much, Lee H. Deanna R., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy and everyone on the line, and thank you all for your beautiful, beautiful, beautiful shares. Oh, what a gift for the day before Thanksgiving. And the one who feels he's an atheist or agnostic. Yes, that was me. Thought I was agnostic when I came into the program. And just even hearing the word God frightened me. It turned me off. I think I was on my way to being an atheist. But coming to the program, it took a while, but I had a spiritual experience. And today, I know I'm not an atheist. I know I'm not agnostic. I do have a higher power. I'm not him, even no human being is, but I thank my higher power for all the tools and people he put in my life. Somebody's unmuted, but put in my life to help me find the solution to my problem. As all those beautiful shares previously, it was a spiritual experience, a spiritual solution. It got me asking for 10 years. And the main thing is, before that, I even got my last 10 years of continuous back-to-back abstinence, and food is at neutral, is the 23 years of trying to do it my way in the program. But I kept coming back because it was something there that wouldn't pull me, I couldn't let go of. And that was that spiritual experience that I saw in others, and it slowly but gradually grabbed hold of me and made sense when nothing else made sense. When all my scientific efforts, I'm going to try it this way, I'm going to only work this step, I'm only going to leave this food out. Until I got very hopeless. And I was doomed to a compulsive overeater death, yes, I was. And the only thing that I was drowning in food. My food was just really killing me. It's like I was in a sea of food, a quicksand of food. And I was just kept sinking. And one day, you know, the higher power reached out and I grabbed hold. I grabbed hold of that hand, that spiritual hand, like a leaf or a reef, or they said, and I would not let go. And today I'm still not letting go. But it took what it took for me to say, I can't just do this on this holiday. Every day is a spiritual solution for me. And I must live this way. I must carry the message. I must check myself with an inventory and stand there and be the light of us who needs the help. With that, I am so grateful for all of you and for your beautiful shares and your service work. And have a blessed and safe holiday season. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Deanna R. So we have 3 minutes left, so I'm going to ask Debbie and Jeff each to take a minute and a half. Go ahead, Debbie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana.
Hold on a second. I don't need to do it at all, and then she can have 3 minutes.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see how it goes. Don't leave, Jeff. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I probably won't take 3 minutes, but anyway, just what I wanted to share, everybody I can relate to. I'm a lot like Fred in our previous chapter where I had a higher bottom as far as food goes. And what I ended up with, the realization of is that I don't have the consequences, the physical consequences of the food, so much. I mean, I've lost 20 pounds and I'm at a good weight and okay with that as far as me and my higher power. But the emotional part for me was just horrible. I couldn't live with myself any longer because of my emotions. Now, maybe I'm saying the same thing everybody else had, but the way that I was able to get to the point, I was a chronic relapser, agnostic. And today, as a result of that, I had to realize that I've been trying to control and direct my life, and my life just is not going the way as planned. So I can either keep going down the same path I was going down, which would end in death, as this paragraph tells us, or I could rely on a power greater than myself. Now, I couldn't say, I say God today, but I don't mean a religious God. I just mean good, orderly direction. And so I rely on everybody in these meetings. I rely on my phone calls, my sponsor, everybody who has been a part of my path over the last 12 years to help me to see that I'm not the one that's in control. And when I want to control, that's when I need to do a 10 step. That's when I need to call others and to bring my ego back into check. And so I'm at 9.5 months abstinent today. And, you know, life is not perfect, but it is definitely better. My worst day today is better than my best day was when I was eating in the food. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, WP. Jeff, would you like to take a minute or so to share?
Okay, I'll try.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I have a car. Diane has a car, but I wanted an electric car, and I've been working on it for 6 months, and then finally went to the dealership this week, and I got a really strong impression during the deal. When the dealership was in, that I should not do the car. And I now have some money because of my inheritance, and I could do it cash. And the resale value is awesome, so why not do it? And God just said no. And I was not happy about it. And I tried to... I got out of the dealership, but then I tried to figure out how to get it done anyways, and still not, so I could get my car, but God would somehow, I don't know, somehow it would work out. And it just turned out that he wants me not to do the car right now. I don't know when he will or not, but he doesn't want it. And really, it came down to me, is it my will? Or is it God's will? And I just had to agree that he knows for whatever reason this isn't right. And it's been hard. And I've talked with several people, but this is not what he wants me to do. And so I'm not going to do it. But, you know, it's been a really hard challenge for me, but that's just what happened, and so I hope that everybody else will. No, I'm not saying that right. Part of me still wants that car, anyways, and I want to make sure that I don't do it my way. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff A. Okay, we will now close with the reading for the big book on page 164, and we will follow that by saying the Serenity Prayer. Tara L., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure, happy to, Kathy. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.